Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Terry Wickstrom Outdoors is brought to you in part by Sun Power Sports, America's largest, or Colorado's largest, and one of America's largest ATV and motorcycle dealers. Let's go right to the phone, because the next person I'm bringing up is one of my favorite contributors. He manages our Upland Game out on the Eastern Plains, Ed Gorman. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Terry. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I know it's going to be a little early to get a forecast on the pheasants, and I'll get that from you before we're done. But I want to start by talking about a program that I've always been just a huge champion of, and I know you're highly involved in it. And, you know, the biggest reason a lot of people don't use the outdoors is lack of access. Well, we have a program in Colorado called Walk-In Access, and you're actually expanding that program. Why don't you tell people initially what the program is about and what the expansion is?
Okay, yeah. As you said, one of the biggest limiting factors on people enjoying the outdoors is having access to places to go, whether that be small game hunting or something else. It's tough to find places to go. So 19 years ago, we decided to kind of step into that fray and follow the lead of some other states that had been very successful and start acquiring access to private lands for the public. And again, I can't hardly believe it's 19 years, but that's been the better part of my career, is managing that program.
And this program, it provides, it takes, you know, people used to have to, you'd drive out, and they still do drive out and ask, you know, farmers if they can hunt their lands and things, but it can be a little bit awkward at times, and some people are hesitant to do that, and this removes that obstacle, doesn't it?
Yeah, we've done most of that work for you. If you choose to only hunt walk-in access, you don't have to obtain permission for any of those properties. However, if you really want to be an avid hunter, you're definitely going to want to hunt on some private land at some point. And I kind of look at it like, what better way to know you have a few spots on public that you can rely on, and then anything you can find on private land is a bonus. And lots and lots of people do that. I have guys that have shown me 18 years of walk-in atlases they have used as scouting guides, and they've found lots of good public and private spots that way. And they have a, you know, kind of a cataloged list of places to go that they've obtained permission or found birds on public land. And it's quite extensive, some of the research that folks have put in. And really, that's what it takes today. It's not as easy as it used to be when I was a kid, when you could just pretty much hunt anywhere. People have different attitudes about that nowadays. And walk-in really fills a great niche for people.
Well, the other thing it does, too, it gets a commitment from the landowner to actually improve the habitat, too, right?
In some cases, yes. Most of the fields that we sign up, there's no habitat requirement other than it has to be a reasonable place to go hunting. But on some of the properties that we're working with landowners on and our partners at Pheasants Forever, we actually go in and plant the habitat that's going to be exemplary upland bird habitat. We plant it with the landowners and Pheasants Forever in partnership, and those properties are kind of marked with special signs. But yeah, so you know, going in that, you know, some of it's going to be okay stuff and some of it's going to be fabulous stuff. It just, you know, you're never going to get it all the best. It just doesn't work that way. But there's really good habitat involved in this program.
So how does a person take advantage of that? Is there used to be,
yeah,
you had to pay a special fee, but now you don't.
Yeah, there's no fee. We removed that fee way back in 2010. And to find out about the program is really easy. You can go to a license agent and pick up one of the two publications that we produce, walk-in atlases, either the regular version, which comes out in late August every year, or the late cropland version, which comes out in late October generally. So you can get them, you can get hard printed atlases, or you can, maybe the easiest way is to go on our website, go to Small Game Hunting, Walk-In Access, and then start scrolling down to the bottom of the page. You can actually put most of the maps or all the maps on your cell phone. With an outside app, you can have every map right there. on your phone or other mobile device, and it's as convenient as it can be. Like I said, a lot of people still prefer the printed atlases so they can write on them and make notes. But more and more people are downloading the mobile versions.
Now, you've recently expanded this into another aspect of hunting that I'm kind of excited about. Tell people about that.
We did. For the first 18 years of the program was small game hunting only. However, a couple of years ago, we did a pilot in the southeast region to open lands for big game hunting, and that went really well. So we decided last winter to go ahead and open up the entire Eastern Plains to this opportunity. So not only can you hunt small game species like pheasants and mourning doves on many of these properties, some of the properties are also open for big game hunting, a.k.a. deer or pronghorn for the most part.
Now, is there a different atlas, or is the atlas marked differently for those properties?
Exactly. The atlas is marked differently. The properties that are open to big game hunting are yellow in color with yellow signs in the field. The properties that are open for small game hunting only are white in the atlas and marked with white signs, the traditional white boundary signs. So we're trying to do a little color coordination there to make it easier for hunters. The important thing is when you get to the field, or when you use the atlas to get to a field, look at the signs and read what they say, and it'll tell you everything you really need to know about what opportunities are there, are legal there. So all the normal regulations apply, whether it be a big game slash small game combo property or small game only. If to hunt big game, you have to have a limited big game license you would have received in the drawing this spring. There are no special licenses, big game licenses available for these properties. It's just the same standard way of getting a license. You have to draw them. But then this opens up a pretty large contingent of properties that you can access. Of course, conditions of your license also apply. So if it's a license that's specific to a game management unit, you can only hunt those properties within that game management unit. But in total, there's about 88,000 acres of big game properties out there, big game slash small game combo properties, I would call them. And 88,000 acres is a pretty significant chunk of land for our first effort here.
Oh, absolutely. Now, one of the points I want to make, a lot of people will hunt big game from a stand or a blind. You really can't bring that kind of stuff. And this is walk-in. Doesn't mean you can't position yourself before daylight in a really good place or at the end of the day. But it's going to be a lot of walking and stalking. Is that right?
Yeah. Most of the deer hunting or pronghorn hunting on the plains is just spot and stalk. And it's no different on walk-in. There's not really opportunity for tree stands or other types of ground blinds out there. I mean, I guess a person could probably carry in a pop-up blind if they wanted to, but most people don't do that. They just kind of spot and stalk and wait for the animal to bed down and then try to get close enough for a shot. That's really how I see most of it happening. Most of the land we've signed up is CRP land, which is Conservation Reserve Program grasslands, where you hunt pheasants and quail and other things, and those are vitally important to deer, particularly on the Eastern Plains. Maybe a little bit less so to pronghorn, but certainly pronghorn use them at times. So not a lot of, mostly spot and stalk hunting.
You know, that's my favorite way to hunt too. Sometimes it's not as effective, but it just seems like a more fun way to harvest. Even when I used to hunt whitetails in northern Minnesota, that's how I used to love to hunt. Let's take a couple minutes now. I know it's early in the season, and you're going to be interpolating a lot of information. We usually do this later, and I may call you and get some more information. But what are you seeing with the pheasants in the upland game?
So, like you said, we're pretty early. Really, I make most of my judgment when my guys are out putting up signs on walk-in properties this in October. Generally, that what they're seeing tells me what the forecast looks like. But I will say it looks pretty decent for pheasants. I don't think it's 2011 good, but I think it's pretty good. Probably increased over last year, which was not a bad year. It might have been a kind of a difficult year, but it wasn't a bad year in terms of population. So it looks like to me that the young birds I'm seeing are a little bit younger than normal. So that kind of tells me maybe the hatch was delayed a little bit, which would kind of fit with what we saw with a really late wheat harvest and some other things. The cool weather in May last spring might have slowed things down a little bit to where hens didn't initiate nests quite as quickly as they normally do. So we have, right now there's lots and lots of young birds out there. Some of them still kind of in the process of turning colors. It just looks a little different to me, but like I said, I think there's plenty of them out there. And of course, some areas are always better than others. The good news is not a ton of big hail storms that we had last year. So that's a plus.
Well, what I'll probably do is, whether we get you on the air or not, but I'll check with you as we get into October and get an update, and maybe we can talk about some of the areas that maybe seem better than others. But, you know, in the last, 15 years, Colorado's kind of made a mark as not being a bad place to hunt pheasants, Ed.
Yeah, it's really not. But what it generally turns into is Colorado, when you hunt Colorado, you become a better pheasant hunter because you have to, you have to really become a thinking man's hunter and work a little bit more, spend a little more time thinking about strategy. And those things all pay off when you go somewhere else because pheasants are pheasants no matter where they occur. They act the same. It's just, there may be occasionally less birds in Colorado than some other states, but, in truth, there's not, talking to those guys in other states like I do consistently, there's not a ton of difference between some of the popular areas in western Nebraska and eastern Colorado. There's not that much difference. Birds may be a little more accessible in various places, and it's just, you just have to become accustomed to the types of habitat you're hunting, and that's a real big one. In Colorado, a lot of our pheasant hunting spots are really large, which makes it more difficult for the hunter. That's just kind of, once you get onto the strategy of it, it's really no different.
You're absolutely right. I will check with you in the very least so I can update people. But, Ed, as always, thank you for joining us. Always full of great information.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
You bet. That's Ed Gorman. We're going to take a quick time out. We come back. Ronnie Castiglione is going to join us and talk some fall fishing on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.